يا أيها الذين آمنوا قاتلوا الذين يلونكم من الكفار وليجدوا فيكم غلظة واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين.
Believers, fight against the unbelievers who live around you, and let them find in you sternness. Know that Allah is with the God-fearing. Believers, fight against the unbelievers who live around you.
The above verse, taken at face value, might be interpreted to mean that the responsibility for fighting against the enemy falls in the first instance on Muslims who live nearest the enemy territory. However, on reading the verse in conjunction with the succeeding passage, it appears that the reference is to fighting against the hypocrites, the enemy within the Islamic society. The hypocrites were clearly established, and their interaction with different sections of the Islamic population had caused much damage. It had already been urged in the opening part of the discourse that jihad should be waged in order to rid Islam of the internal enemy. The same directive is now being reiterated at the end of the discourse in order to shake Muslims into realizing the importance of the matter and to urge them to wage jihad to crush these enemies and to disregard all ethnic, family, and social ties which they have shared with them. It is worth noting that in the previous injunction on the subject, the Muslims had been commanded to launch jihad against the hypocrites and unbelievers, whereas in the present verse the word qital is used. This latter usage suggests that Muslims should spare no effort in their drive to crush the hypocrites. Likewise, it should also be noted that whereas in the earlier verse, for instance 73, both hypocrites and unbelievers are mentioned, the present verse mentions only the unbelievers. This is so because the hypocrites, whose unbelief had become crystal clear, had no right to claim any relief on grounds of their formal profession to faith.
And let them find in you sternness.
The lenient policy shown the hypocrites so far should now be given up.
Know that Allah is with the God-fearing.
The note of warning to the Muslims contained in the above verse has two different meanings, and perhaps both are intended. First, the Muslims are warned that making any allowance to the hypocrites in view of their personal, social, and business ties with them is inconsistent with God-fearing behavior. It is not possible to fear God and at the same time have relationships of deep friendship and love with His enemies. If Muslims care for God's support and favor, they should give up those relationships. Second, the Muslims are warned that God's command to be stern towards and fight against the hypocrites should not mean disregard of moral and humanitarian considerations. For, regardless of what they do, Muslims are always required to act within the limits prescribed by God. Transgression of these limits will render them undeserving of God's support.
وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتْهُ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ
And whenever a new surah is revealed, some of the hypocrites ask the believers in jest, "Whose faith has increased because of this? As for those who believe, it will certainly increase their faith, and they are joyful over that."
وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَتْهُمْ رِجْسًا إِلَى رِجْسِهِمْ وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ
But those whose hearts are affected with the disease of hypocrisy, every new surah added a fresh abomination to their abomination. They remained unbelievers till their death. Every new surah added a fresh abomination to their abomination.
For a detailed discussion of the increase and decrease in faith, hypocrisy, and unbelief, see Al-Anfal 8, note 2 above.
أَوَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ ثم لا يتوبون ولا هم يذكرون.
Do they not see that they are tried every year once or twice, yet they neither repent nor take heed? Do they not see that they are tried every year once or twice?
Circumstances often arose which made it possible to test the claim of the hypocrites to be believers, and invariably their claim was proved hollow. From time to time, for instance, a Quranic injunction would be revealed in opposition to their instinctive desires. Occasionally, they would be faced with a demand of faith which was prejudicial to their worldly interests. Sometimes, circumstances would place them in a situation of conflicting loyalties, and they were forced to make a clear choice. Did they hold God, God's messenger, and God's religion dearer than their personal, family, and tribal interests? At times, war would break out, and one's loyalty was put to the test. To what extent was one prepared to sacrifice life, property, time, and energy for the sake of the religion which one claimed to believe in? On all such occasions, the filth of hypocrisy that lay hidden behind a cloak of false profession to faith came to the surface. In fact, on such occasions when the hypocrites cast aside the obligations of faith, they became more hardened in their hypocrisy.
وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ نَظَرَ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ هَلْ يَرَاكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ ثُمَّ انصَرَفُوا صَرَفَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ.
And whenever a surah is revealed, they glance at each other as though saying, "Is anyone watching?" Then they slip away. Allah has turned away their hearts, for they are a people who are bereft of understanding. And whenever a surah is revealed, they glance at each other as though saying, "Is anyone watching?" Then they slip away.
Whenever a surah was revealed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, he recited it at a public gathering of Muslims. While the Prophet, peace be upon him, recited it, the true believers listened to it in rapturous attention. The hypocrites, however, behaved at such gatherings in an altogether different way. They attended these meetings as it was obligatory for every believer to do so, and their absence would have exposed their hypocrisy. Nonetheless, they evinced no interest in the Prophet's recitation, and their presence was only ever half-hearted. Their only concern was to register their physical presence at the gathering, and they would depart at the first opportunity. The above Quranic verse presents a graphic account of their conduct.
Allah has turned away their hearts, for they are a people who are bereft of understanding.
The Quran demonstrates the utter foolishness of the hypocrites insofar as they were ignorant of their true interests and welfare, oblivious to their salvation, and absolutely ignorant of the great favor God had shown them by revealing the Quran and sending His Prophet, peace be upon him. Engaged in their trivial pursuits and narrow interests, they could not see that by embracing the true faith, they could assume not only the leadership of all mankind in this life, but also attain eternal felicity in the next. Their behavior deprived them of the opportunity to benefit from the vast, unlimited treasures of faith which could have led them to eternal happiness, success, power, and greatness. The hypocrites were indeed altogether unfortunate to miss this golden opportunity, while the true believers availed themselves fully of it.
لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ.
There has come to you a messenger of Allah from among yourselves, who is distressed by the losses you sustain, who is ardently desirous of your welfare, and is tender and merciful to those that believe.
فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ.
Yet, if they should turn away, then tell them, "Allah is sufficient for me. There is no God but He. In Him I have put my trust. He is the Lord of the mighty throne.